Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Well, the latest stats say that by 2042, whites will no longer be the majority in the United States. But it's not just Black, Latino, and Asian populations that will be in the majority. It's the sum total of all of the above, plus mixed race combinations. Truth is, we're headed for an increasingly mixed race future, and Barack Obama's candidacy has brought mixed race identity to the forefront of public and private discussions about race in America all the more. To explain the state of mixed race identity in the U.S. and to take some of your phone calls from mixed race listeners, we're joined by Carmen Van Kerkhove, co-founder of the group New Demographic and founder and publisher of Racialicious.com, and Jen Chow, founder and executive director of a group called Swirl. Welcome to WNYC. Jen and Carmen, thanks for coming on with us.
Thanks for having us.
And you both identify as mixed race. I guess we'll put that out there. Carmen, you're Chinese and Belgian, and Jen, you identify as Chinese and white. Jen, what's Swirl?
Swirl is a national community organization. We started out really serving mixed race individuals, interracial couples, mixed families, and now we're doing that and expanding so that we're actually doing quite a few community building projects along with other communities so that we're not just focused on mixed, but really looking at race from a broader perspective.
And so listeners who identify yourselves as mixed race, call us up, or parents of kids who you would identify as mixed race, call us up. What's easier now than maybe a generation ago? What are you finding a challenge that maybe you didn't expect? Is the candidacy of Barack Obama starting new conversations in your sphere that you weren't having before? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or post a comment to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Carmen, according to the new census numbers, the number of people of mixed race, that is people who tick more than one box on the census form, is expected to triple by 2050, or tick the mixed race box. And as I said, whites will be a minority by 2042 compared to everybody else combined, which is 8 years sooner than previously thought. What do these new numbers mean to you?
Well, it really just goes to show that none of us can afford to live in a same-race bubble. You know, it's really difficult to get anything done nowadays without having to interact with someone from a different race or ethnicity. And so it's really becoming just a critical survival skill to be able to have effective personal or working relationships with people of other backgrounds. And I think that that is really what we're heading towards.
Right. And according to these latest census numbers, the Hispanic population by 2042 will be a third of all people in the United States, by far the biggest non-white group. But in the U.S. in 2000 on the census, only 2.4%, about 2% of people ticked the more than one race box on the census form. Now, we know that technically, based on genetics, there are a lot more mixed race people than that, depending on how far back you want to go in your ancestry. But do you think that Americans are more likely to box themselves in as one race or another, even if they are mixed, Jen?
This was a huge discussion at the time of the last census. I think that people still aren't quite sure what it means, what the ramifications are if you check more than one box. People speculate about resources being kind of divvied out. And so people, I think, still need to kind of be educated about what it means to check more than one box. And then the reality also, and we see this with Barack, is that a lot of mixed race people truly identify as one over the other. And so people aren't necessarily all checking mixed, multiple boxes if they're mixed. So it really does vary from individual to individual.
Do you think that the way that mixed race people are perceived by others shapes their identity? If a mixed person sort of reads white or reads black to others, how much do you think that shapes the way they think of themselves? Carmen, you want to go for that?
Sure. I think that that is a huge factor. And actually, when you look at the way multiracial people identify themselves and then the way they are labeled by other people, it's interesting because very often the way the person self-identifies is almost the least important factor in how they're perceived. And we've definitely seen that with Barack Obama.
And it gets to the whole question of passing as well and people's relationship with that. If they're perceived to be white, especially, and they're really mixed or other.
Yeah, absolutely. But it becomes really difficult, and I think that the way multiracial people are portrayed in the media is still very in a very polarized way. They're either seen as these tragic mulattoes. We've seen that a little bit with Obama in the sense that he's constantly, you know, being discussed in terms of whether he's black enough or too black. Or on the other hand, they're seen as just symbols of racial harmony. And I think that really goes to show how conflicted America is still about race.
Mike in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Mike.
Hi, how's everybody doing?
All right.
This is a pretty good topic. I grew up here in Manhattan and lived in the city all my life, and things have really changed in the past 20 years, especially for me. I used to feel kind of strange in the city because I'm supposedly black, but people will think I'm anything from Italian. Chinese people speak Chinese to me. Filipinos think I'm Filipino. Latinos speak Spanish to me, and I always felt odd 20 years ago. But now, with all of the immigration that's here, all of the different people that are here, I go out to Queens, which is like the most ethnically diverse place in the planet, I think.
Probably.
And, you know, I feel at home with all of the different people where before, you know, I always had to, like Barack Obama, you know, I had to, like, make a choice. I don't look black at all, but I had to make a choice. Now I kind of feel like, well, America is everybody, and I'm sort of everybody, so I like it.
So
like
the question of who am I doesn't confront you as much.
Well, yeah, but I still have that kind of feeling. But now when I'm with Chinese people, I'll speak Chinese to them and hang out with them. And they just assume I'm part Chinese, or I'm with Spanish people, I'll speak Spanish with them.
You've learned all the languages of everything that people might think you are.
Yeah, I had to do that because people always ask me, Bangladeshi people, cab drivers, are you from my country?
Yeah.
You know. So just kind of learned to embrace everyone.
Thank you, Michael. That's a great call. Yes, go ahead.
I just wanted to say, I think that what Mike is noticing is very real, that there is just so much diversity in a place like New York City, so it's not as abnormal, and people are getting more used to seeing mixed-race people around, and it's a very diverse city. I think, though, that we have to recognize the surge of activism and work that has been done in the past 10 years to really put this conversation out there. I remember in 2000, people still not being familiar with the term biracial, where now there's a greater consciousness, and Obama has definitely, you know, furthered that even more.
Glenya in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi.
Oh, Glennis, is that right?
Yes.
Sorry, I said your name wrong at first. I guess right the second time. Thanks for calling.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So? Tell us your story.
Oh, so my daughter is half Indian and half black. I'm black. My husband's Indian, first generation. We're both first generation immigrants. And our cultures are very strong. I'm from the Caribbean, and his family's from India. And so we have these polar opposite cultures, it seems like at times, both religious and also just every day, the way we do things. And one of the biggest challenges we're having is trying to accommodate both of our cultures for our daughter. And, for example, just in terms of religion, she goes to her grandparents, and she knows how to do an Indian puja very well. She goes to church, and she knows the Protestant American style church. But, you know, we have this, I guess we haven't really articulated it very well, but there is some tension that I'm seeing in terms of trying to balance her exposure and also seeing where she gravitates towards.
Carmen, anything from your experience growing up Chinese-Belgian relevant to this, or anything you report on racial issues?
Yeah, absolutely. I think we tend to think that culture is an immutable thing. And, of course, culture is constantly evolving. So we hear this from parents of multiracial kids all the time. How can we balance the different cultures? And the truth is, if you look at my family, for example, my grandmother was from mainland China. My mother was from Hong Kong. And so my grandmother looks at my mother, thinks she's a watered-down version of what it means to be Chinese. And then my mother looks at me and thinks that I'm further watered down. And the reality is that it's all really relative. And so I tend to tell parents not to stress too much. Ultimately, you want to expose your child to the different aspects of their culture, but they are really going to be the ones who decide how to incorporate those into their identity.
Glynis, thank you and good luck. We're going to get Dan in Brooklyn here before we run out of time. Dan, we have about 30 seconds for you.
Yeah, Brian, hi. My name is Dan. I'm a biracial African-American Caucasian. And, you know, I'm adopted by a white family, so I was, you know, raised in this kind of progressive house, but I didn't know it was so progressive. And I guess I didn't know what box to check before I would check black and people. You know, I was always too black for white people and too white for black people. Huh. And, you know,
it was
only
like getting easier or harder as you grow up?
That's the thing. In the last 5-10 years, it's great. I just... You know, I say I'm biracial, and that's...
And everybody goes, ooh, way cool.
Yeah, they kind of do, and now Barack's running, and there's Derek Jeter, and there's Halle Berry, and people understand, Mariah Carey. People understand that it's a lot more common, you know.
Dan, thank you. I have to leave it there. You know, there's a Hawaiian term, hapa, referring to someone who's half Asian and half something else, and it was originally derogatory, but it's been appropriated by mixed race Asians all over the United States. And so I guess it suggests that mixed is a source of pride in the community right now. And hapa is the word on which we will leave this with Carmen Van Kerkhove, co-founder of New Demographic and Racialicious.com, and Jen Chow, founder and executive director of Swirl. Great conversation. Thanks to you both very much.
Thanks, Brian.
And you can keep posting on this. Good conversation there at WNYC.org.